So let's read, starting in verse 13 of James chapter 3. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where evil and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Lord, thanks for your word. Give us great insight in all we ask, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So the context of these six verses is pretty clear, and that's wisdom. And it's going to be addressed by a contrast, if you notice. There's earthly wisdom, and then there's heavenly wisdom. So he begins the section with a question, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? So in essence, he's asking, well, who has wisdom? See, wisdom is the application of knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge is seeing a skunk and knowing it's a skunk. Wisdom is seeing a skunk and running as fast as you can away from that skunk. See the difference? There's a difference. We all know people who have great knowledge, but if you don't know how to apply your knowledge, then what's a getcha? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Remember that James isn't overly concerned with what we know, but what we do. Back over in James 1:22, he tells us, be doers of the word and not just hearers. So he asks there in 13, who's wise? And then he also asks, who has understanding among you? Understanding carries the idea of a foundation that your house might stand upon. So the question is, in my vernacular, who among you is applying the principles that they've been taught, and who among you is standing upon the firm foundation regarding the principles that you've been taught? And he says, if you're wise, it's going to be demonstrated by the way you live your life, by your obedience to the Word of God. That's a wise man, a person who's obedient to what he knows God has said, and you'll live your life with humility. And isn't that just like Jesus? Think of the verse over in Matthew where it says, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are, let me start over. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You hear it? For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that incredible how humble Jesus was when he walked on this planet? I mean, he was a superhero of superheroes. He could have come onto this earth and pointed and directed and had his little cape on and done all these things and shown off and all that stuff. But he didn't walk in that attitude at all when he was on this planet, did he? Now, he was the greatest superhero ever, but he walked with humility. And that's what I think we're going to see as we walk through this section is a wise person is an obedient person, and their life is marked by humility. So when you think about all the issues that we have to deal with in life, how do I deal with my neighbor who's kind of difficult? How do I deal with my boss who could be difficult? What do I do about this issue that I'm facing in my life? What about decisions that are related to the raising of my children? How do I know that the wisdom that I'm getting is from God or it's from this earth, from the wisdom of this world? How do I know? So as we work through these next five verses, we're going to see that everyone has wisdom from one of two sources. Either our wisdom comes from above, which is the last part, verse 17, or our wisdom comes from below, starting in verse 14, 15, and 16. So where does our wisdom and understanding come from? It's very important for us to recognize this because as believers, we don't want to only put our wisdom on display in front of everybody or around, but we want to display the correct kind of wisdom, right? We want to display the Christ-like kind of wisdom. And so we're going to see the contrast. Read again with me 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition, maybe, in your hearts. Don't boast and lie against the truth. And here's 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So there's three sources of wisdom that aren't from God. You see it in 15? It's earthly. It's of the fallen world. It's sensual, which means it's of the flesh. And it's demonic, which means it's of the devil. And so that's the heart of the wisdom that this world offers. From the world, from our flesh, and from the enemy. And we see two things that come out of that, if you notice in 14. Bitter envy and self-seeking. And what he's saying is, the wisdom of this world is filled with bitter envy. No decision should ever be made that's motivated by jealousy. Because God will never use that to direct his people. Because the envy has the potential to be a powerful motivator in this world. Think about it. Let's say you're home and the neighbor comes over with the newest gadget and it's really flashy and cool and all this stuff and it's real little and all this stuff and he leaves and you pack the family in the car and head over to Gadget World and on the way over you're praying, Lord, should I get the blue one or the green one? Which one would I have? Which one would you want me to have, God? Which, give me the wisdom to know. Should I get the 27 gig or the 55 gig? Which one, God? Because I'm open. Whatever you want. I mean, if you want me to have the little 75 gig, then I'm good with that. But he's telling us here that the praying there for the wisdom, if it's motivated out of jealousy or envy, then that wisdom isn't coming from God. It's coming from the other three sources, whether it's of the world or of our flesh or of the devil. See, the wisdom of this world tells us that's how you'll be happy. That's how you'll be fulfilled. That's how you'll be contented, is by chasing after all those things. That's what the wisdom of the world tells us all the time. Think about the advertising we see. Think about all the stuff that we just get bombarded with every day. And that's what it's telling us. There's fulfillment. There's true contentment. And what we're seeing here is that is worldly. Another example I thought of is, you know, Lord, well, I'd like to be on the worship team. Lord, have you heard me sing? I mean, why does he get to be on the worship team? I mean, he doesn't sing near as good as I sing. Well, what's wrong with that? Lord, show me how I approach Thane to get on the worship team. Tell me how to do that. And I'm praying for wisdom, but I'm motivated by, I just want to stand in front of people and have people acknowledge my talent. Because afterwards, people are going to say, whoa, it was just like an angel. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. God, that isn't God working in that. God doesn't work that way. And so we're asking for wisdom, but if it's motivated by things like, I just want to be seen and have attention or those kind of things, he's telling us very clearly through the bitter envy thing. You know, that's not from me. And it's a very subtle thing that happens in our lives. So one of the questions I want you to think about today is maybe I'll ask the Lord, Lord, search my heart related to this. Because if I make a decision that's based out of bitter envy, then I'm making it independent of you, and I don't want to do that. It's also manifested, notice, in the middle of 14 by those who are self-seeking. The word really is translated contentious or maybe strife. It's carrying the idea of trying to get someone to agree with you rather than agreeing with someone else. It's like pulling somebody over on your side, so you're trying to manipulate their opinion because you want to be seen as right and you want them to be seen as wrong. That's what the self-seeking really speaking to. Because the byproduct of that attitude is trying to pull you over onto my side is division. And when I walk in this kind of earthly wisdom, I'm trying to get everyone to agree with me. After all, I'm right, you're wrong. Or the person over there is wrong, so you got to come over here. And then for me to be able to manipulate that, I got to put the other person down. Well, they're not really that smart. They don't really know what they're talking about, so I end up slandering them or ridiculing them because what I'm trying to do is get you to come onto my side of things. That's what he's talking about really when he says there that you have self-seeking in your hearts. So if I'm making a decision that's based on selfishness or driven, if you will, by selfishness, and it's all about my personal glory because I want to be seen as right in every situation, then that wisdom isn't from God. And I find this instruction to be very helpful. Don't you love James and the practicality, the whole thing? This is very helpful for us because we all look for directions in different areas of our life. And we just need to pray, Lord, search my heart and show me if I want this out of either bitter envy or selfish ambition. Show me my motives here, Lord. And if that is revealed as my motive, then I really need to recognize that that wisdom that I'm getting isn't from the Lord, but it's from the world. It's from the flesh, or it's from the devil. And you know, people who are not walking with the Lord, they're perfectly fine with this kind of wisdom. We're going to get people all the time telling us, if you don't look out for yourself, you're never going to get anywhere in this world. That's the wisdom of the world. When I graduated from college, moved over here, I worked for General Electric Medical. Somehow, I got connected with this guy. I mean, I know how, but we won't leave the part. And he was a mover, man. And he was going up the General Electric chain. And he said, come with me. I'll take you up with me. Every promotion I get, I'll have you come along. But this guy was ruthless in the way he treated people. Ruthless. The guy above him, he would disparage his character. Why? He wanted that spot. And he got the spot. And then he wanted the next spot. All the things that he would do to try to work his way up, and the General Electric guy goes pretty high. What was the wisdom that he was using as he was working through all that? What we're talking about here. And I saw it really clearly as we got deeper into this. Like, I have no interest in walking along the what kind of ladder based out of those kind of things. And yet it's a very subtle thing sometimes. So we want to be really careful with the way the world treats this kind of wisdom. They're going to celebrate it. Yeah, you got to go get it on your own. You want a promotion? You better make it happen. Because ain't nobody looking out for you but you. That ain't true, is it? It isn't true at all. We got the King of the universe looking out for us, and we can rest in that. The last thing we see in 14 is notice the fruit, if you will, of this kind of the bitter envy and the self-seeking. We boast and we lie against the truth. Don't we see that in our world today? The people who are trying to rid this world of God, in particular Christianity, how they promote their ideas and promote their wisdom, quote unquote, about how they want the world to be. But the reality is they're just boasting and they're lying against the truth of the Lord. So notice then that the wisdom of the world consists of three things. Wisdom of the world, wisdom of the flesh, and of the devil. And look at the fruit of it as we get on down. This is all down to 16. Read 15 with me again. This wisdom doesn't descend from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's demonic. And here's the fruit, 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, you see it? Confusion and everything evil thing are there. So the results of making this wisdom the one I walk by, it's disastrous. It's confusing and everything evil thing is there. We don't want this kind of wisdom to control our thinking. We don't want this kind of wisdom to control our conduct or even our speech. And it's a good checklist for us. Is what I'm wanting to do motivated by envy? Is what I'm wanting to do is to elevate myself? Am I boasting? Am I lying against what I know to be true? If that's the case, we're walking in the wrong kind of wisdom. 17 then is, don't you love it when the Bible says, but God is the greatest two words in the Bible. Verse 17 says, but here's the wisdom that's from above. And there's a few of them. I never did count them. The first one is that it's pure, and it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Over in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Remember? And we all lack wisdom at times. Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? And so then when we ask God, he promises to give it to us. And that's really cool. It's awesome to know that God's going to give us the wisdom we need. But here's the problem. How will you recognize that the wisdom that you're getting is from God? Because we just saw that there's two kinds of wisdoms. How do we know the wisdom that we're getting is from God? How do we know it's from God and not just me? Is there some kind of test? I know we're just getting out of school and we don't like the test word. But is there some kind of test that allows me to know that this wisdom is coming from God? Well, here's the grid. You can put your decision-making through this little grid in verse 17. It's where I'm seeking God in a particular for wisdom in a particular case, and I feel like he's given me this direction, and then I can run this answer through this filter, if you will. And if it passes, I can rest assured that this wisdom's come from God. So let's work through these things. Notice the first one, that it's first pure. The Greek word there is hagnos. It means clean, reverent, holy. So heavenly wisdom will never lead you into something that's unclean. Nothing off color in God's wisdom. Nothing vulgar in God's wisdom. Nothing crass, if you will, in God's wisdom. There's nothing in God's wisdom that would ever lead you or anyone else towards sin. In fact, it's just the opposite. Wisdom from God will set one mind on the heavenlies. It focuses people on the things of God, the goodness of God. It's always moving them toward righteousness. So the first thing that is the filter is the decision I'm about to make, is it pure? Is it holy? Is it reverential? The second one is that it'll be peaceable. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." So when God gives us his wisdom, it'll always sit right in my spirit. And you know, there's times that we want to do something or we're thinking about doing something, and there's just an unsettledness, isn't there? You know that. It's just kind of this uneasiness. It just doesn't, this just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't sense like, oh, I don't know. We don't have peace. That's because the Spirit of God that's living inside of us isn't testifying to that decision as being from him. And when that's the case, I just simply need to pull back from the decision and keep praying and say, Lord, I don't have peace about this. And it's a great barometer for us because God's decisions will be peaceable, the peace that rules my heart. The next one is that it's gentle. It just takes other people into consideration. Sometimes we get so bent on a certain decision. Now, we don't care how many people get hurt by this decision. I'm just going to do it. But God never moves in that way. He always takes others into consideration. And it's gentle. And then the next one kind of ties close to that. It's willing to yield. Here's what I think it's saying. That God's wisdom makes us willing to listen to others' people. Because if God's directing me, then I can have 25 people come into my life and give me their viewpoint about a situation. That I'm not threatened by that. I'm not threatened by that at all. Heck, maybe God's speaking through them. But so oftentimes I get this idea of what I think is right, and then when somebody comes up and challenges that, I immediately want to, I don't even want to talk to that. I don't even want to listen to that. Well, that's not what he's talking about here. The wisdom from God is willing to yield, willing to listen to other people's viewpoint. In fact, how's it go? In the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom, or your Bible may say safety. So we're not threatened by somebody coming up and saying, you know, have you thought about this? And yet, how many times when you're ready to make a decision and somebody comes up, you know, and they can come up with a really wonderful spirit and come up and say, you know, have you thought about this?
I don't even want to talk about it. I've already made my decision.
Well, that's what we've got to be careful of, because then the wisdom you're walking in isn't representative of the heart of God. That's what he's saying there when he talks about being willing to yield. I don't have to be afraid to let other people present their case and even acknowledge the fact that they might be right. God's wisdom gives me humility and allows me to yield to others. Then the next one is it's full of mercy. Pardon me. Full of mercy and good fruits. In other words, God's wisdom is never harsh
or cruel.
Its first thought is mercy, not judgment. It has a concern for other people. It's never interested in revenge or retribution. Remember, mercy's not giving people what they deserve. And don't we love to give people what they deserve? Don't we just love that? I'm looking for opportunities to give people what they deserve. Because when I have something on someone, I can't wait to beat you up with it. But that's not God's wisdom. Because, you know, in that, sometimes we think we're doing you a favor by pointing out all your faults. Lord, give me wisdom on how to confront them about this. Well, there may be a place for that, but not in every situation. And so we pray for wisdom. Lord, am I to approach this person in this? And he says, my spirit will give you the wisdom to do it in mercy, not judgment, not trying to get back at someone. Isn't that cool? Because it says there, it's full of mercy. It's overflowing, if you will, with mercy. It withholds what people might deserve. And here's why. Because of the good fruits that will come out of our dealings with people. Don't you want people to know you as a person who's edifying? That when you walk up to them, they're not thinking, oh, here comes a beatdown. And he's going to point it out to me again. Isn't it time for you to cut your fingernails? Isn't it time that you get your hair straightened up? Isn't it time for you to start dressing better than that? Isn't it time for you to start getting off the couch and doing something? There may be a point for all those things. But man, we just want to be careful that we don't walk into any situation driven by that kind of wisdom that is just putting people down, judgmental. We want to have a heart to show mercy toward people. That's the heart of Christ, isn't it? He gives it to us every day. The next one is without partiality. It just doesn't talk down to people. And it also doesn't talk up to people. And what I mean by that is partiality can be talking down to people that you believe are below you socially or below you spiritually. But it also means the other way, that you put the schmooze on people who you think are above you socially or above you spiritually. And God's wisdom doesn't show prejudice. It never shows favoritism. And it's also without hypocrisy. It just, God's wisdom never has a hidden agenda. The Bible says that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So we walk in the light, and as we walk with the Lord, and therefore there'll be no hidden thing, no pretense. There's no hiding something or keeping things secret so we can sneak in and get what we want. I think that's what it's talking about. And so many times we withhold things. I was like, well, it's kind of like the Trojan horse. Well, we withhold things because, well, you know, and then later on we got, wah-ha! And I'm like, gotcha! Too late now, you hired me. Too late now, you married me. Woo-hoo! You know, that's not a good thing. So this section is wonderfully applicable, isn't it? Because it's a great filter for us to run our decisions through. So much of our decisions are related to wisdom. Because we all want to be in God's will. We all want to hear his voice. We want to make a difference in this world for the kingdom, don't we? We do. Nod your heads with me. Yes, we do. We want that. And it's wonderful to know that I can take any decision that needs to be made and run it through this simple filter, verse 17 of James 3, and let it be tested to see if I'm dealing with worldly wisdom, which is over earlier, or heavenly wisdom. Now, what's the result of heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above? Remember, over in verse 16, the result of the worldly wisdom is, you see it in 16? Confusion, every evil thing. That's the result of worldly wisdom. The result of heavenly wisdom is verse 18. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, the person whose mouth and whose wisdom is being used by God, it'll be marked by two things. That person will have a heart of peace. And that person will, it'll be coupled then. The other thing that he'll have in his heart will be, he'll be a person of righteousness. He'll walk in have a righteous standard in his life, in the way he talks. 18, the fruit of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, actually, remember when they wrote the Bible, they didn't have verses and chapter breaks and stuff. 18 actually leads us right into chapter 4, which we'll do next week, because it really speaks right into what we're going to do at the beginning of next week. So read ahead. Next week, I think we may try to get up to verse 10. So read ahead for me. So this section to me, it's one of the things that we, it's one of the areas I think that we need to stop and ask ourselves, do I really believe that this is what God wants to do in me and through me? Do I believe that God really wants me to walk in peace? It'll be reflective in my marriage. It'll be reflective in my business dealings. It'll be reflective in my relationship with my children. It'll be reflective in every area of my life. Do I really believe that God wants me to walk in peace? Do I really believe God wants this church to be a place of peace and rest? Is God really serious about giving me peace in these areas? If so, this section tells us how we get there. We refuse to take the wisdom of the world with its envious attitude, with a self-seeking nature, and the boasting and lying against the truth. And instead, we take up the wisdom which is pure and peaceable and gentle. And I don't remember the other ones that are in there. I closed my Bible. All the other ones. Willing to yield and full of mercy and good fruit. Without partiality, here I'm reading it now. Without hypocrisy. See, that's the wisdom that God wants us to walk in. And the fruit of that wisdom, peace. Isn't it glorious? Lord, thank you for the time. It's just a simple reminder of what you offer us. But Lord, every day we have choices when it comes to decisions we make. That we can choose to walk in the wisdom of our own flesh. We can choose to walk in the wisdom that this world offers us. We can choose to walk in the counsel that's demonic. Or we can push all that aside. And we can say, Lord, I choose to walk in the wisdom that you're giving me. And Lord, thank you for those few things that we can run our decisions through as a filter. To say, Lord, is this decision pure? Is it gentle? Am I willing to yield in this? Am I willing to listen to what others might say? Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We pray that we would be yielded to him today, and that we would be constantly praying that you would give us the wisdom that we need to walk in this world, truly representing you. That people might see you in us, Lord. That's our desire. And that out of that, that people would be saved, that people would grow in their relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for our unsaved friends. We thank you for our unsaved neighbors and family members. We thank you for the privilege we have of living life amongst them. Lord, I pray that our light for you would shine real bright. Have your way, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a small story as we close. I had the opportunity this week to share at a memorial service, but it was it had a Jewish person there too, and so this person and I shared the stage. I don't know if this person, a Jewish person, would be a priest, a rabbi. I didn't ask their title, and so this person got up first and shared, and then. I tend to say the name Jesus a lot. I don't even really think about it much. I guess I am intentional. I love the name Jesus. I love to say the name Jesus. I don't say the name God. I mean, I just like Jesus. Well, I said the name Jesus. Like, I must have said it a lot. I think the place that I kind of maybe got in trouble was when I talked in Isaiah 53 that he bore our stripes and all that. I think that's where the Jewish rabbi person. So then I finish, and then this rabbi person comes right up behind me. I mean, wasn't supposed to. Right up behind me. And here's what this person said. And it was fascinating to me. Now, we all recognize that God is love, and that all of us are going to heaven. And all we need to do is just love each other. And that God is bigger than the divisions. And you know what? Man, I'm sitting right here, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, That's a lie from the pit of hell. How do I walk here? Because I wanted to grab that mic, And I'm so thankful we're working our way through James, because it's like, all right, Lord, I'm just going to trust that the things you had me say when it was my turn resonated in the hearts of, you know, there were 40 Jewish people there, I guess. And so this person got up and went on for a while about how all this is, you know, God, you know how it works. I guess I'm probably not going to get invited back. I don't do the ecumenical thing very well. I don't think I get along very well. But you know what? I'm not going to get along very well because it's a lie. Amen? It's a lie. So then they finish, and then there was a memorial part that neither one of us had a thing to do. And at the end, they'd ask me to get up and pray. This guy, this person comes up to me and doesn't whisper, but kind of a little louder than a whisper. You make sure this prayer is ecumenical. I wanted to say, sir, that's way too many syllables for me. Ecumenical. Whoa, you know, we got to keep it a little more simple than that. See the heart of the world in which we live? That we would rather say to people, you know what? I want you to feel good about things. Rather than tell people the truth, there is no name by which a man can be saved except one name, amen? What's the name? Jesus. Every time. And we got to dance out of here, sprint out of here, and proclaim his name, even in a world that would disparage and put us down. And you know what? If I'm going to be at my grave and you come to me, I want you to be able to say, he loved his God, he loved his wife, he loved his family, and he was willing to stand for truth even in the midst of what he dealt with. Yeah? Let's be those kind of people this week. Let's be those kind of people. Now, I'm not saying we need to, like, I chose not to say anything after that Jewish person got up and shared. I didn't believe I was supposed to. I just didn't believe it was a thing. I was willing. I kind of wanted to, but I think I was just itching for a fight. To be honest with you, I was itching for a fight. And I'm not saying we need to stand up on the lunch counter tomorrow. But you know what? If God wants you to stand up on the lunch counter tomorrow, you stand up there. And you let her rip with love and wisdom. Yeah? Let's worship the Lord. Go ahead, King. Stand up with me.